Boston City Hall is one of those landmarks that locals love to hate. The concrete structure is frequently viewed as drab, ugly, and severe. But a group of artists this month hopes to transform the building with a collection of strange and surprising installations. As WBUR artery reporter Amelia Mason explains, they hope the public can see beauty and find meaning in the oft-reviled building.
Straight up open. I love the windows at the top.
Marilyn Arsim stands in Boston City Hall's airy front lobby. She tips her head back to take in the vast concrete expanse that soars 9 stories overhead to a hazy shaft of sunlight at the top. Arsim points to a chiseled protrusion about halfway up the wall.
But now, is there a place you could stand on that overhang, you know, like at the top of it?
Up top, no.
Arsim is a member of the Boston-based experimental art collective Mobius. The group is planning an art installation to refashion City Hall's solemn gray interior, using sculpture, sound, video, and performance. Arsim is joined by fellow Mobius member Jane Wong, who describes one piece involving trombone, tap shoes, and jump rope.
And a jump rope, that's right. And she'll be jump roping while Tom is with a trombone, and he'll start on the 5th floor, so they're going to be playing off each other with the acoustics.
A different performance piece will tinker with the speed of escalators to upend visitors' sense of time. There will be giant sculptures, interactive performances, and original music, like this composition by Zaid Boudi. For Wong, who grew up in the Boston area, curating the performances has changed her perception of City Hall.
Even though I have to admit, I still think this building is pretty ugly. I feel a fondness for it now. It has a lot of personality. It's just when you just look at this big cement thing, it just feels very heavy. But when you come in here and once you start to appreciate just pockets of it, I think you can see the beauty in it. So it's an ugly, beautiful thing.
Wet cement, hideous. A lot of different words I've heard people say.
Patty McMahon is the city registrar and has worked in Boston City Hall for nearly 30 years. The concrete style, commonly known as brutalist, was popular in the 60s when it was built. But McMahon says the design is impractical. It's difficult to hang pictures on the hard cement walls. Wires and piping hang exposed. And on the first floor where she works, there are no windows. McMahon says that each administration has taken a different tack with the building.
I think first, initially, it was to make it livable, and then it was in the Menino administration to make it have wires and run so you could actually use technology. And I think in the Walsh administration, it's really looked at how do you actually make it pretty and comfortable and light.
You used to be able to come out, walk up into this atrium, and then down a stair and across the street.
Chris Grimley of the design firm Over Under leans over a map of City Hall in his office in the South End.
You could come in this way, go up into the atrium, walk back out that way, right?
Grimley says the layout was meant to foster a sense of porousness and accessibility. With its deep-set windows and towering concrete brow, City Hall can seem fortress-like and forbidding. But Grimley says the design was rooted in high-minded democratic ideals, part of a huge and successful urban renewal project that revitalized Boston's decaying downtown and restored faith in a government once riddled by corruption. City Hall was designed to be welcoming, transparent, a place for the public to gather.
For instance, people don't realize that you could walk from the Government Center T stop down the plaza up into the courtyard. There's an elevated courtyard that exists in the center of the building, which is a completely remarkable space, which has skylights that flood the space below.
Grimley says that over the years, the building has suffered from neglect. And now, for security reasons, there's only one point of entry, the front door, something not likely to change in our post-9/11 world. Grimley is working with the city to recapture the civic spirit of the building, and that's where Mobius comes in.
I am building this sort of tentacular, low-level inflatable sculpture that sort of seeps over the edge and oozes out onto the floor.
Artist Jesse Kaminsky stands on a mezzanine overlooking a hallway and points to the ledge where he plans to install his sculpture, a huge, puffy anemone made of colorful Tyvek that undulates with the aid of a fan. Inspired by the artist's love of early science fiction movies, the creature will creep over the edge of the balcony, infusing somber City Hall with a feeling of comical unease.
I wanted to make this sculpture that was very soft and very, like, floppy and forgiving and kind of funny in a way.
The sculpture is meant to contrast with the building's severity and disrupt its sense of order. Kaminsky has great aspirations for his piece, but he's not sure how it will come across to the public.
You know, I feel a little honored to be able to come into this area and bring in something that is not a sure thing. Because I think failure and that sort of possibility of failure is super important in the creative process and in the municipal process as well, even though it's harder to admit that.
To some, City Hall represents just that, a failure. But to the artists of Mobius, it's become a source of inspiration, even beauty, proof that Boston City Hall, in all its flaws and peculiarities, might still be worthy of love. For 90.9 WBUR, I'm Amelia Mason.